Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking a classic air horn hit in Ableton Live 12 and turning it into something way more serious than a novelty stab. We're going for heavyweight sub-impact, controlled grime, and that rude old-school jungle and DNB energy that makes a drop feel like it's coming through a proper sound system. The big idea here is simple. Don't just make the horn louder. Make it feel connected to the low end. Make it punch like part of the rhythm section, not like some random sample sitting on top. When you get that right, the horn becomes a weapon for drop markers, tension hits, switch ups, and those classic call and response moments that old school jungle does so well. So let's build it from the ground up in a way that stays punchy, mixable, and loud without falling apart. First, get your air horn sample onto its own audio track and give it a clear name, something like Air Horn Impact. Keep it near your drums and FX so you can grab it fast while arranging. Now zoom in and trim the sample so the attack is instant. A lot of horn samples have extra tail, and in this style you usually want a shark system hit, not a long comedic blast. If the start feels late, tighten it up in clip view. If it rings on too long, shorten the tail or fade it out manually. At this stage, set your gain sensibly. You want headroom. Aim for the horn peaking somewhere around -12 to -8 dB before processing. That gives you space to add saturation, sub, and compression without the whole thing turning into mush. If the sample needs timing correction, turn warp on and get it locked in. Now we build the processing chain on the horn track. A solid stock Ableton setup is a Q8, saturator, auto filter, compressor or glue compressor, and utility. Start with EQ8. If the horn has unnecessary low junk, high pass it somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz. If it sounds harsh, try a gentle dip around 2.5 to 5k Hz. If it's lacking bite, a small boost around 1.5 to 3k Hz can help. The point is to carve the horn so it has attitude without eating the space you need for the sublayer. Next, load saturator. A little drive goes a long way here, usually somewhere around 2 to 6 dB. Turn on soft clip and reduce the output to compensate. This is where the horn starts to feel like it belongs in the DNB world. That slightly broken edge is part of the vibe, especially if you want that old-school jungle nastiness. Then add auto filter. Don't just think of this as an effect. Think of it as movement. We'll automate the cutoff later so the horn can open up or get darker across the arrangement. Keep resonance moderate unless you want the horn to get extra biting or whistly. Finish with utility. If you want the main horn impact fully mono, set width to 0%. That's often a strong move for the transient itself, because it makes the hit feel focused and physically centered. You can always keep the tail or the reverb wider later if you want some bloom. Now for the really important part, create a dedicated sublayer that follows the horn hit. This is the move that turns the horn from a top-end FX stab into a proper heavyweight impact. The cleanest way to do this in Ableton Live is to use a separate MIDI track with operator. Set operator to a sine wave on oscillator A. That gives you the purest sub foundation. Then write a MIDI note exactly where the horn hits. Keep the note short so it behaves like a transient body layer, not like a bass line. Fast attack, short decay, no sustain, short release. You want it to thump, then get out of the way. If you want to get more precise, you can place the sub note on the exact horn hit, or nudge it a few milliseconds earlier or later depending on how the transient feels. That tiny timing adjustment can make a massive difference. If the low end feels weaker when both layers play together, you may be hitting a phase issue, so move the sub slightly and test again. Sometimes just a tiny offset is all it takes for the whole thing to lock in. This works so well in jungle and DNB because the ear loves that low-frequency confirmation. The horn gives the attitude, but the sub gives the chest hit. Together, they feel like one system-level event. Once you have the horn audio and the sub layer working, group them into an impact group. This is where you control the combined energy as one unit. Inside that group, add EQ8. Glue compressor, saturator or drum bus, and utility. On the group EQ, roll off anything below about 25 to 30 Hz, because that stuff is just unusable rumble. If the impact is clashing with the kick, try a small cut around 50 to 80 Hz. If it needs a little more weight and the kick can handle it, a gentle boost around 90 to 120 Hz can help. Be careful here, you want weight, not a low-end traffic jam. Now use glue compressor to bring the whole thing together. Try a ratio of 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. Attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds so you keep some punch, and release on auto or somewhere around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. You're aiming for just a couple dB of gain reduction on the hit, not flattening the life out of it. If you want more attitude, add a bit of drum bus. Keep the drive subtle at first, maybe 5 to 15%, and use crunch only as much as needed. This can add that warehouse system edge without needing to destroy the sound with heavy clipping. Now we need the impact to punch without stepping all over the kick. In DNB, that's everything. If your horn and sub hit at the same time as the kick still needs to win the first transient. The horn can bloom just after. A compressor on the sub track sidechained from the kick works really well here. Use a ratio somewhere between 2 to 1 and 6 to 1, with a fast attack and a release that bounces back in time with the groove. You can also sidechain the horn track if it overlaps the kick too much. Another smart move is automation. Don't leave the sub layer at the same volume all the time. If the bass line gets busier in one section, ease the sub layer down a little so the whole mix doesn't feel overloaded. That's one of those small arranging details that makes the difference between a cool sound and a proper track. Now let's make the horn evolve across the arrangement. This is where the lesson really starts to feel like a production technique rather than just a sound design trick. Automate the auto filter cutoff, saturator drive, utility width, horn volume, and even a reverb send if you want to create distance before the drop. You can start with a dry horn hit, then make the next hit a little darker, then slightly more saturated, then maybe let the final hit bloom into a short reverb tail. That kind of movement is perfect in jungle phrasing. You might have bar 1 as a dry horn hit, bar 2 slightly filtered, bar 3 more distorted, and bar 4 with a tiny pre-drop tail. The listener feels the tension building, even if they don't consciously notice the automation. One really effective trick is to make a throw return. Create a return track with reverb or echo and keep the main horn dry and upfront. Then automate send amounts for just a few hits. For reverb, start around 0.8 to 1.8 seconds of decay, with a short pre-delay, low cut around 200 Hz or higher, and a high cut to keep the top end under control. For echo, keep it subtle and filtered. A little 1/8 or 1/4 sync dubby echo can sound wicked in a jungle context, especially on the final horn before the drop. The key is that the dry hit stays dominant. The return is just there to create depth and drama. If you drown the main horn in reverb, it loses that rude system-style punch. Now lock the horn into the drum phrasing. That's huge. Air horn hits work best when they sit at phrase boundaries, not randomly in the middle of nowhere. Think end of a 4-bar phrase, beat 4 before a drop, first beat after a fill, or a call and response point after a snare roll. Pair the horn with a chopped break fill and let the bass come back right after. That makes the horn feel like part of the groove language instead of a random effect. If the timing feels off, nudge the horn by a few milliseconds in arrangement view. In DNB, tiny timing moves matter a lot. A hit that is just a hair early or late can completely change how the drop feels. Once the chain feels right, print it to audio. Freeze, flatten, or resample the horn group so you can commit to the sound and move faster in the arrangement. This is a very practical DNB workflow. It lets you grab the best version, consolidate the clip, and even keep alternate versions around. Maybe one clean, one dirty, one heavily filtered. That gives you options for different sections without rebuilding the sound every time. A few quick coach notes before we wrap. Keep your headroom healthy before the group stage. Treat the sub as a transient accent, not a full bass line. Check phase if the low end feels weaker when the layers play together. And be sparing with automation records. A couple of strong moves will usually hit harder than a pile of tiny ones. If you want to push it further, try a few variations. Split the horn into a low mid body and an upper bite. Keep the body centered and slightly distorted. Then let the upper part get wider and more animated, or make a two-stage impact, where the main horn jab is followed by a tiny delayed sub pulse or noise burst 30 to 80 milliseconds later. That can make the hit feel like it continues through the system rather than just stopping dead. You can also reverse a processed horn tail and place it before the hit for extra tension. That's a classic old-school move, and it works beautifully before a drop or at the end of a phrase. And if you want a more handcrafted feel, layer in a tiny click, a short tom, or even a very subtle pitch dip on the sub at the moment of impact. So the takeaway is this. Don't think of the air horn as a joke sample. In the right routing, with a dedicated sub layer, careful filtering, controlled saturation, and smart automation, it becomes a proper jungle weapon. Dry and punchy, mono where it matters, heavy where it counts, and locked into the drum phrasing, so it feels like the track itself is shouting at you. Now go build that impact group, route the sub like it means business, and make the drop hit like a warehouse system from 1994.